JIYC Audio Productions present Corruptors of the Heart, an uplifting iman-increasing talk narrated by Sheikh Abu Adnan Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fih, wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil'alameen, Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace and blessing be on the last Prophet and Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, I wanted to talk to you today about the corruptors of the heart, or how do we attain a righteous heart? How can someone subject his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, that is authentic hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim, the last part of the hadith said that وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَى, there is inside the body a morsel of flesh. If it was to be corrected, the whole body would be corrected. Yes? إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ, that it was to be corrected, then the whole body is corrected. And if it is ruined and corrupted, then the whole body is corrupted. As one of the predecessors have said, that the heart is like a king and the limbs are the soldiers of that heart. And that's why it is very important that we correct our heart. Especially now, inshallah, yani the shahr of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan is coming very soon and it's around the corner. We need to get ourselves psychologically and our spirit ready for that month, inshallah, so we can attain and gain the best of reward. I want to go with you through some of the issues that can be an obstacle, a veil, a prevention that prevents you from attaining a righteous heart. As the poet said, تَعَلَّمْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ وَمَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقْعُ فِيهِ, to the meaning, I learned evil not because I want to learn evil. I learned what is wrong and what is evil, because if you do not know evil from righteousness and from goodness, you will eventually fall into evil. We want to see what are the main problems that could be a prevention between us and a righteous heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 74, He explained to us beautifully the hearts of people when they are away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He described them like a stone. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He described the hearts of Bani Israel, the children of Israel, when He said, ثُمَّ قَسَدْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, to the meaning, then after that your hearts were hardened and became as a stone or even worse in hardness. So subhanAllah, the accurate description, that the heart becomes like a stone. So the stone, when there is water, ghayth, rain comes on it, it does not absorb it. It does not take it. So exactly the disobedient heart, or the heart that is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes like a stone, would not suck into it the water. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, He showed us a different example. He said, and indeed, there are stones out of which river gushes forth. So some of the stones actually, there is water and khair inside of them. River would come out from them. And indeed, there are stones out of which rivers gushes forth. And indeed, there are of them stones split asunder so that water flows from them. Yani, there is some stones will crack and water would come out. And indeed, there are of them stones which fall down for the fear of Allah. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. To the meaning that there is a stone can fall from the top down to the bottom from the humbleness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, the heart when it's far away from the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it beautifully, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Yani if we were to send down this Quran on a mountain. Look at the greatest and the biggest mountain around you. And if the Quran was to be sent on it, ala jabal, on that mountain, you would see it crumbling and humbling itself and rent asunder from this Quran, from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is inside the Quran. So it is very important to know that one of the softness or the best of softness of our heart, when we feel we are not emotional enough, our heart is not soft enough to put the qiwa on it, which is the Quran. Here Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said that there are five corruptors or five preventers that prevents the heart of a believer from getting attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or from it's been soft. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said the first one was mixing or too much mixing or excessive mixing with people. And that's very important because that mixing with lots of people is a source to bring a lot of trouble into your heart. Yani, some of us have so many friends. We spend on the phone so much time talking to them, while at this time we can be doing better things. And also, when you are talking to your friends on the phone, who knows, maybe you're making ghibah, you're talking about people and you're slandering people, and then sayyi'at would come. And then also, you would go and spend time with them in places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked or dislikes from you. So here it is very important to choose the correct friends, to choose the right friends. So make it this Ramadan, say this Ramadan inshallah, any evil friends or friends that I have that I cannot give nasiha to or they do not listen to me when I give them an Islamic advice, I do not want to be very close to them. And subhanallah, the soul of the believer must be in a constant migration away from people. With your body you mix and live with people, but with your soul you secluded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the meaning that your soul always remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is very important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Furqan, verse 27-29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. The oppressor on that day, the loser on that day, the one who lost everything, would bite on his fingers and he would say, and he would bite on his hands and he would say, I wish I never took such and such. I wish I took away with the messenger. I wish I took away with the messenger. To the meaning, today we don't have the messenger with us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we have the people of the sunnah, and we have the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to take it as our companion. Then the verses would continue to say, Ya waylata, woe to me, laytani lam attakhid fulanan khalila. I wish, woe to me, I wish I've never taken such and such as a friend. And that's a very important point, my brothers and sisters, that friend could lead you to Jahannam wal'iyadu billah. Let us remember what when Abu Talib was on his deathbed and he was surrounded by bad company, they were telling him, are you going to leave the millah, the way of your forefathers? He rejected to say La ilaha illallah because he was fearing his companions, what would they say about him? So if he would have left all these bad companions and took away with the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would be amongst the successful one on the day of judgment. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never willed so. The verses continue to say, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. Indeed, that friend that I took as a closer friend, he led me astray from the reminder after it had came to me. Then after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you the remembrance, when you take bad friends, and how many of us, how many people have learned smoking from evil companions, have learned drugs from evil companions? And we have a saying in Arabic that goes, قُلْ لِي مَنْ تُعَاشِرْ أَقُلْ لَكَ مَنْ أَنْتْ. Tell me who is your companion, who is your friend, I'll tell you exactly who you are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us in Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse 67, الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the close companions, the friends, أخلاء, the close friends, the enemies to each other on the day judgment. They will stand enemies. They will argue against each other. They're not friends with each other. They do not want to know each other except المتقين, the righteous, the pious. Except the righteous, the pious, they will support each other and they will be with each other. And actually they will intercede for each other. And that's a very important point, that when our companions, they have to be like a mirror to us. Tell us exactly what is wrong with us. Not cheating us, not telling us things just as compliments without telling us the truth about ourselves, so we can correct ourselves. But of course, when you go out and give nasiha, advice to someone, you do not say it openly between you and them, secretly between you and them, so you do not spread their mistakes in front of people or say evil things about them. Now here, very important, that first point, which is to take friends or very close friends which are pious and righteous and students of knowledge and the one who are learning Islam, because one of the ways you can steadfast and have consistency in learning the religion of Islam and to have patience in the religion of Islam, to have a buddy. And that buddy, always you compete, you and them, and always if there is an issue, both of you research it to come with the best answer, so you can compete with knowledge, and that's the best of competition. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises such a competition between the believers. The second corruptors are from the corruptors of heart, rukubu bahri tamanni, that you sail in the sea of wishes and saying all the time, if, law, a wish. And that one of the corruptors of heart. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indeed warned us from this by him saying in the authentic hadith that is collected by Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, احرس على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجزن وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني فعلت كذا لكان كذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. Here the hadith goes, persist in what benefits you. Seek Allah's help and do not behave helplessly. And if something happens to you, do not say, if I had done this, then that would be, but say, Allah has decreed and He has done as He willed. Because if opens a way for the work of shaitan. So this is a great hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslim is a positive person. Always think in a positive way. Saying wish, I wish, and I hope. It is like the people now who are turning gambling into business, like all the lottery, where people buy a dream, they pay $5 or $10, thinking one day they're going to win $20 million and become rich. This is only false wishes, which is would never happen. And wishing always is the capital of bankrupt people. Yani who wishes too much is the bankrupt person. Indeed, the Muslim, when he wants to do something, a Muslim is an achiever. He would put a plan and a target and goal and take every reason to achieve that goal, because this is indeed from the tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to put a correct plan for your life. And don't say, if I wish I've done this, if I've done this would have been this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, be sure and persist on what benefits you. Look for your benefit, search for it. And there is no benefit in this world better than seeking the knowledge of Islam and the knowledge of the religion. And seek Allah's help. Always tawakkal ala Allah. Always say, I rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not behave and always look hopeless and helpless. Yani subhanallah al-azim. Some Muslim, they're always negative. They think like tomorrow they're going to die and the whole world going to collapse over their head. You, as a Muslim, you have something that no one in this world has, which is reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and believing in His predestination, in His qada or qadar, you know that whatever going to happen to you, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if anything happened to you, whether it is bad or good, don't say, I wish I've done this or I've done that or whatever. Indeed say, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed, because if opens the door of shaitan, then the shaitan would come in and play with your head, and you will always remain feeling hopeless. And it is a very important point. And we need, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to differentiate between wishing and hoping. Hoping, which is in Arabic called ar-raja. Hoping actually is a good thing, to hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you. And hope is based on work and deeds and action. Yani we all hope that we want to enter paradise inshallah. But we need to put the action and the effort so we can enter paradise. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 110, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whomever hopes to meet his Lord, to the meaning, a good meeting with his Lord where he can get the best of reward, let him do a good deed and do not associate anyone in the worship of his Lord. And this is how you achieve the highest of paradise. We all hope, but the hope is accompanied with actions and deeds and hard work. Otherwise, it becomes wishes. It is like the student who stays up all year, does not study. And then he says, when the exam comes, I know our teachers are very good people in the school. They're very nice. And they have a soft heart, and we're all going to get 100% in the exam, and we enter college and we go get a medicine degree. And then he is surprised that he's got a big nice red circle, which is a zero, because he didn't study. He did not study, and that is the problem. But that is called wishes. But hopes is the one who studies very hard, and he puts the effort, and he says, inshallah, I'm hoping to get the best of result. And that is hope. That is what is called in Arabic, ar-raja, ar-raja. The third corrupter of the corruptors of heart is to attach your heart in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-ta'alluq bi-ghayri Allahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is the worst of them all, because the origin and the basis and the roots and the core of shirk, polytheism, and associating someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you attach your heart in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed said in Surah Maryam, verse 81 and 82, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لِيَكُونُوا لَهُمْ عِزَّةً كَلَّا سَيَكْفُرُونَ بِعِبَادَتِهِمْ وَيَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضِدًّا. And they have taken for worship ilah, gods beside Allah, that they might give them honor, power and glory, and also protect them from Allah's punishment. Nay, but they so-called gods will deny the worship of them and become opponents to them on the day of resurrection. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying to these people who attach their heart in other gods other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they saying, these gods, they would help us and they bring us glory. Indeed, on that day, those idols will deny the worship of them. And each one of them, each party will deny the other party, subhanAllah. And the issue here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, since we are Muslims, we attach our heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what comes in, and what comes in the way, that sometimes we attach our heart in the wife or the husband. We think that the wife is the one, yani, attach my heart to my wife. Or you attach your heart to your husband so much that if something happens to them, it is like a calamity and disaster. You cannot get over it all your life. You attach your heart to them while you're thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to you. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who takes. Sometimes we attach our heart to our children, and then if something happens to them, sometimes we lose our mind. And we remember the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his foot was stricken with a disease, then they had to cut off his leg. And he said to them, cut off my leg when I am praying. And while he was praying, they cut off his leg. And then he became unconscious. When he woke up, they told him another sad news that your son, your beloved son also has passed away. He said, oh Allah, you gave him to me and you took him. You gave me my leg and then you took it off me. And you gave me my son and then you took it off me. So we have to always attach ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, especially living in the West, we are attached to too many things. We are attached to our lifestyle. We are attached to our beautiful houses. We are attached to our businesses. How many rich people we know that committed suicide when they become bankrupt? How many people that get high blood pressure when the stock market collapses? Because everything they have is in there and their heart is attached to their wealth. The modern economy of today knows that people are fearing tomorrow and their hearts are attached with their money. That's why they try to market all this big investment and big corporation that you invest in. And they're always trying to sell you false hopes, businesses, or to sell you things that really do not exist other than making you busy and wasting your time in it. So here, Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said to the meaning that the worst of people, the biggest of losers, the one who attached their heart in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is like, and look at this accurate description, subhanAllah, he is like the one who is trying to find shade under a spider web. Yani the spider web would never give you enough shade. And when you attach your heart in something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are expecting to get shade from something that would never ever be able to shade you and would not give you enough and sufficient shade, subhanAllah. And this is a very important point, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that in all times our heart is attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whatever comes, we say alhamdulillah. Whether it is good, whether it is bad, we say alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah for everything that He gives us. Whatever it comes, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we lose, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another, we take it a point further. There is some people out there, they attach themselves into saints, awliya. They say, such a saint will intercede for me. And then you see him, they do not do much, they don't pray enough, they don't do good deeds enough, because their heart is attached with this sheikh, that one day this sheikh, he'll intercede for me. I do not have to pray, I don't have to do all this. And this is wal-iyadu billah, the essence of shirk. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the scholars after that warned us from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, verse 22, لَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ فَتَقْعُدَ مَذْمُومًا مَخْذُولًا. Do not set up or do not have or set up with Allah any other ilah, God or man. This, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that otherwise you will sit down feeling sorrow and sorry and forsaken in the hellfire, wal-iyadu billah, because you set up ilah. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling it ilah? Because your tawakkul here supposed to be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on nothing else. When you rely solely on something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you put total reliance on them, then as if you have taken up gods beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you rely so much, you say, my job is what gets me money. My money comes from my job. And if I lose my job, I will lose my money. Then I need to please the boss. Then when salat comes, I'm not going to pray because the boss said don't pray. And then I listen to my boss instead of the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when the Jum'ah comes and you need to go to Salat al-Jum'ah, you say, no, I can't leave my business alone. I can't shut the business. I have to leave it open. Otherwise, I'll lose customers. Then again, you have to be careful from this. Your heart is attached with business, not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so many Muslims, they're scared to tell their wives to wear hijab. Why? Because they said, if I tell my wife to wear hijab, she might divorce me and she might leave me. Or so many women live with a very bad husband who does not pray, does not fast, does not do anything Islamically. And they're too scared to tell their husband to pray because they're scared if they tell him or to order him to pray and do salat and worship Allah, they will leave them and would not live with them. And this is when your heart is attached in other, to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can fall into such mistakes. The fourth one here, he said, rahimahullah, the fourth corrupter of the corruptors of heart is food. Which is, here he's saying, eating too much or the type of food that you eat. Now, this, yani eating different types of foods, there is types of food which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that are completely prohibited, haram, like the dead animal, the maita, that it is not slaughtered according to the Islamic Sharia, and blood and pork and other similar things. Or also, which is halal in itself, but it is the way you earned it is haram, like stolen food or something you took it by force and so on, or stolen money. That prevents your heart from becoming righteous. How is that? The Prophet ﷺ told us in a beautiful hadith that you will find it in the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. You can find this hadith. A part of it said that the Prophet ﷺ, "Inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba." Indeed, Allah is good and He does not accept anything except good. And then he continued the hadith, then he mentioned the man. He said, "Ash'atha aghbar," yani his hair is fuzzy everywhere. "Aghbar," his clothes full of dust, yani because he traveled so much. And he worked so hard. He puts his hand to the heavens and he says, "Oh my Lord, oh my Lord." His food from haram. His whatever he drinks is coming from unlawful way. His clothes is unlawful. And he sustained himself with unlawful food. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. How would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would answer the dua, the call of such a person? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would answer the dua of such a person, since everything that he earned, it came from an unlawful means, from haram means. And that's very important, my brothers and sisters, that we need to be careful and we need to watch ourselves. Where do we bring the food from? Are we bringing halal food? Are we feeding our children halal food? Especially the men who are married and they are responsible for their wives to bring halal food to them. To bring halal food to them and to earn the halal money, not from haram means. Sometimes us living here in Australia, for example, we have a problem with our youth, like any Western country. And we wonder, why our youth are not behaving as Islamically as they're supposed to? Why we have so much trouble? We never ever think that maybe we didn't feed our children halal food. All what we do think of is to put pressure on the children to learn Arabic and learn Quran and learn Islam. We say, we tried our best, but still the kids did not behave as they were supposed to behave. And then we ask ourselves why. We forget that maybe we are the problem from the first minute that we were feeding these children from suht, from haram. Yes, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, a body that was sustained from suht, which is, it's a growth, it's a flesh from suht, an-naru awla bih, the fire is more deserving of it. That means will be thrown in the fire. So if the children fed up with haram and fed with haram, and we went and earned usury, riba, from the banks, and we went and got food which is we're not sure is it halal or haram, and we went and got jobs which is haram and brings haram money, and then we feed them to our children that money, we put them in their mouth, and then when they grow up, what do we expect other than the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is very important, the source of sustenance, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And that would tell us also, if we're going to go get educated and we're going to university, what are the fields that it's going to bring me halal money? I should avoid all the fields that could bring me haram money and study the fields that I can benefit myself and Muslims and Islam in general. here also under this point befalls that if you eat too much. The problem here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, that some of us would eat so much, then yani eating too much will slows our mental capability. Also, you feel your heart is hardened. It is very hard after you eat too much. And this, subhanAllah, this phenomena is apparent and clear in Ramadan. In Ramadan, after we eat our food, the iftar, we eat so much from the table, then when we go to pray Taraweeh in the masjid, every time the imam say Allahu Akbar and you want to do ruku', you want to bow, you feel like your food is going to come out of your mouth, and you're standing in Taraweeh. If the imam is taking too long, say, subhanAllah, why this imam is taking so long? And he's not taking so long because you've got so much food in your stomach, you can't even stand up straight. So it is very important, especially when Ramadan is coming, to eat as little as possible, to leave our stomach empty as much as we can. And even, yani, subhanAllah al-Azim, even throughout your life, yani, we see all this obesity, and I'm sure in the United States and in Australia here, we have a very high level of obesity. It's because people eat too much. They don't eat out of hunger, they eat out of joy. And that's a problem. Just to eat and feed their faces for the fun of it. Nothing than sitting, watching TV and stuffing the face with food without realizing what's going inside. And that's a problem. And half of the world or majority of the world today in starvation, in Bangladesh, in Africa, in a lot of countries where they cannot afford to eat. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, warned us from excessive eating or excess, yani, and spending in extravagance, which is israf. Yani, let us eat. Let us cook what is enough for us and eat what is enough for us. And that you find you save lots of money. And that can be sent to our brothers and sisters overseas in Palestine, in Iraq, in Bangladesh, in Africa. They're dying from food. And this is subhanAllah, because the whole world today is so far away from the Sharia of Allah, then it is falling into this unbalanced way of life. This unbalanced way of life, this whole world falling into pieces. There's countries which are throwing away food, and there is other countries which is they cannot even find food to eat. There's some countries are throwing food, big amount of food in the rubbish, and some countries they cannot even find two pieces of French fries or chips, that is as you call it. Why is that? Because the world live in unbalanced way, away from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, away from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مَلَأَ آدَمِيٌ وِعَاءً شَرًّا مِنْ بَطْنِهِ. That there is no, yani, the son of Adam, he did not fill a container worse than his stomach. بِحَسْبِ ابْنِ آدَمَ لُقَيْمَةِ. Yani, if you really want to eat, yani, if you want to eat, few لُقَيْمَات, yani, few bites, يُقِمْنَ صَلْبَهِ, so you can straighten up your back. وَإِن كَانَ لَبُدَّ فَاعِلَ. Yani, you really want to eat, you're really a big eater, فَثُلُثٌ لِطَعَامِهِ. Yani, the third of his stomach for his food. وَثُلُثْ لِشَرَابِهِ. And a third, water. وَثُلُثْ لِنَفْسِهِ, to mean leave it empty. So, how do I know that? The best way to know that is you leave the table when you're still feeling hungry. You do not leave the table when you can't even breathe or take any more breath and say, subhanAllah, I ate so much, I am going to collapse. No, indeed not. You leave the table when you're still feeling hungry. Then you have a glass or two of water and that's it. That would be sufficient for a person. The fifth and the last corrupter of the corruptors of heart, which is sleeping too much. Comes as a result. Yani, if you eat too much, eventually you will sleep too much. As the ulama taught us, they said, كُلْ كَثِيرًا نَمْ كَثِيرًا تَخْسَرْ كَثِيرًا. Eat too much, you will sleep too much, then you will arise on the day of judgment as a loser. Because you slept too much, you wasted your time sleeping, and you wasted your time trying to digest all this food that you filled that container with. So it is very important to sleep less. And yani, if we want to go through the life of our predecessors, you see, subhanAllah, how were they able to write so much books? How were they able? Yani, just take for example, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Or take for example, Suyuti. MashaAllah, he wrote hundreds and hundreds of volumes of books. Yes, Ibn Aqil, he wrote the biggest book in the world, which is 4 volumes. It's called Al-Funun. And subhanAllah, say, where did this man get all this time to write all these books? This is, subhanAllah, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they never used to sleep as much as we sleep. 10 and 11 hours. Yani, I've never met a successful person or a successful day in my life, and he said that he sleeps more than 5 to 6 hours a day. This is enough. Sleep 4 or 5 hours at night, and maybe 1 hour in the afternoon or two, and that's it. That's all what you need. You don't need to sleep 10. You don't need to sleep 12 hours. Actually, if you sleep 12 hours, you wake up lazy. You can't even move. You need the time to read, and you need to pray, and you read the time for your family, and you read the time to do the reading and the studying. We can't be, yani, you can't be successful expecting you sleep 8 to 9 hours. Forget it. That's not going to happen, because we spend so much time sleeping, so much time eating, so much time driving in the traffic. When is the time then we're going to get to study? No wonder why everyone complains, said, I don't have time to read. I cannot buy books. I cannot listen to lectures. Only when I'm driving, I'm listening to lectures. But in reality, the problem is go rethink the program, your daily program, what you do. And watch that you're spending too much time sleeping. Now, of course, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it's not going to happen overnight. If you're already used to 10 hours, you don't say, tomorrow, from tomorrow, I am going to sleep 5 hours. Otherwise, once you jump in your car and you only had 5 hours sleep, you're going to hit the first pole that you see, because you haven't slept enough. But you need to learn and do it gradually, that you say, tomorrow, inshallah, I am going to sleep 8 hours only. Then I'll learn to sleep. I'll stay on this for about a month. Then I'll drop it to 1 hour until I get to 5 to 6 hours. Then your day, you have about 19 hours day. And mashallah, you can do so much. And when you feel tired, you can have a nap for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes. That's no problem. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he never used to go to sleep when it's time to go to sleep as we do today, like chicken. We just go to sleep whenever they turn off the light. No. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he used to go to sleep whenever he used to feel tired. He collapses. Sometimes he'd be sitting and he falls asleep for 2 hours. Then up, over again, here you go, back to work, back to salat, back to ilm, back to looking after the affairs of this nation, and so on. And this is the case of every successful person. There is the biography books. Go and read them for any successful person and see how much time they spend. Of course, we don't want you as Muslim to spend the time that if you have extra time reading about how you can be a millionaire and how to make $20-30 million. No, we want you to read Islam, especially when we live in the West, where our lifestyle is so easy. We live in such a ni'mah. We have so much around us. We don't have time to waste worrying about becoming millionaires. We need to put our time to spread this Islam. We live in fertile ground, like what a United States or the UK or Australia, where the people are prepared to listen to you. In the Jahiliyyah, in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you know, they used to put their fingers in their ears. And this is also with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. They do not want to listen to you. Here we have a chance to spread this beautiful religion, to spread Islam. And this would not come without hard work. This website you are on, or all the lectures that you hear and all this work, it does not come overnight. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of sleepless nights. And that's the case of a Muslim, that he lights up his grave with working hard at night, either praying or reading or learning. This is how you put light in your grave, not by snoring and having sweet dreams. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I summarize the 5 points for you very quickly. The first one is excessive mixing with people. We need to mix with people, but with no excess. And we need to make sure who we are mixing with.
The second one, not to wish too much. Let us hope for things and accompany that with good deeds and actions so we can achieve what we want to achieve. The third one, that a Muslim, his heart must be at all times attached with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not with anyone else. Not with any materialistic thing around us. The fourth one, watch what we eat and how much we eat. What we eat, is it halal or haram? Does it come from halal means? Or how much we eat to leave the stomach empty? And how do you know that your stomach is empty? You ate the enough amount of food that when you leave the table while you're still hungry. Yes, when you leave the table while you're still a little bit hungry, you know you didn't excessively eat. Now, and the last one is not to sleep so much. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خير. My brothers and sisters in Islam, for your attention and for your listening.
GIYC, Global Islamic Youth Center, caters for the physical, social and religious needs of the Islamic community with a focus on our youth. The daily running of GIYC is done on a voluntary basis and relies on your support. For more information or to donate, please visit our website at www.giyc.com.au. We are located at 265 George Street, Liverpool. Assalamu alaikum.